The show that takes you home. The Home Stretch with Sterling Holmes on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Welcome into the home stretch, ESPN Kansas City, live in studio on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Little chilly, but not bad. Like, it's sunny. It makes you feel good. This morning it was dreary, and all of a sudden now I'm feeling myself. Feels good. It's vest weather. I'm a big vest guy. So for me, this is nice. Dylan is behind the glass, and a lot of NFL news is making its way across our desk right now as franchise tags are being placed left and right. Just news in general, players getting released, obviously Russell Wilson yesterday, but a few other names who were just let go. So we will get to all of that, but I want to start this show before I get to all the NFL news with a shout out to Caitlin Clark, first and foremost. Obviously, a couple days ago, breaking the all-time NCAA scoring record that was held by Pete Maravich, one that he did in 3 years with no three-point line. Yeah, it's different. End of the day, the record will still stay Caitlin Clark. It's not what you did in 3 years. It's what you did in your college career, and Caitlin Clark is the all-time NCAA scoring leader. But what I find so impressive by what she did, not just the consistency, not just the points scored overall, obviously, it's the fact that in that game where she needed 18 to become the all-time NCAA scoring leader, no one questioned it. No one had any doubt that she was going to do it in that game. Sit back for a second. Imagine you're in high school. Maybe some of the, you folks listening played college ball. But I'm imagining a lot of you guys played high school basketball, right? How many of you listening ever scored 18 points in a game? Okay. How many of you scored 18 points in multiple games? Even smaller. How many of you averaged 18 points a game? Now, how many of you would put up 18 points against the second best team in your league? Now, how many of you going up against the second best team in your league would not only put up 18, but the entire world is watching you, all the pressure's on your shoulders? That team's game plan is to make sure they're not the team that you break the record against, and yet you still do it. Because that's what Caitlin Clark did. And that's why I find that so impressive, and one of those things that's going under the radar about this incredible feat that she accomplished. There was never a doubt she was going to do it in the game. Hell, the betting odds were she was going to do it in the second quarter. Which, by the way, she did on those technical foul free throws. I just find that insane that no one doubted that she was going to score 18. All the pomp and circumstance, all the fanfare was because they knew it was going to happen. That, to me, is incredible. Picture Jimmer Fredette, right? You remember Jimmer Fredette? I think everyone remembers Jimmer. BYU offense revolved around him. I think there's a lot of comparisons to be made from Jimmer and Caitlin Clark, right? Hopefully Caitlin Clark has a better WNBA career than Jimmer did NBA career, obviously. Although he did do pretty damn good on the Shanghai Sharks. But the offense revolved around those two guys. It was Jimmer and Caitlin. Yeah, you assume Jimmer is going to get 18 easily, but part of me still wonders if he had the chance to break the record and he needed 18, would everyone just assume he was going to do it that game? Or would there at least be some people like, okay, let's pump the brakes a little bit here. Hopefully he gets it done. Everyone knew she was going to get it done, and that to me is why it's so damn impressive. All right. talking about the NFL now. Seahawks releasing safeties Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs. Also, Seahawks are expected to release tight end Will Disley, according to sources. Jamal Adams, a three-time Pro Bowler, was set to make a non-guaranteed $16.5 million in 2024, but count $26.9 million against the salary cap. No, that was not going to happen. Jamal Adams has fallen off, man. Not been healthy. I think everyone knew when that trade went down. You're trading him for that first year or two. But Jamal Adams has really fallen off talent-wise and health-wise. How old do you think Jamal Adams is, by the way?
29 or 30 is my guess.
28. He's still younger than you would expect, right? But last year he played in 9 games. The year before he played in 1. Year after 2021 he played in 12. 2022 he played in 12. He has never played in a full season since 2018. Ever since he got traded to Seattle, he's never played a full season. He ends his Seattle tenure with 2 interceptions, 9.5 sacks. By the way, Dylan, he has not had a sack since 2020. Jamal Adams is not going to make that money. I know we're going to talk about Russell Wilson and that horrendous trade, but this feels like a pretty damn bad trade right there for 2 first-rounders for a safety who can't stay healthy and, quite frankly, only made an impact in 1 year. Not great. Quandre Diggs, to me, is a little bit more of a surprise. I thought Quandre Diggs was still pretty darn effective. He is 31 years old. Let me pull up Quandre Diggs very quickly. Last year played in all 17 games. He's played in every single game, 17, 17, 17, 16. Pro Bowler 3 of the past 4 years in Seattle. I don't know about you, Dylan. Quandre Diggs to me was a little bit more of a surprise. Releasing Diggs frees up $11 million in cap space, but I don't know if you're finding an $11 million type of player that Quandre Diggs is.
Not for that price, but I do know that they are very interested in Geno Stone from the Ravens.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why. But it is weird. I didn't think they would get rid of both. I did think Jamal Adams was definitely going to be on this news list, but I did not think Quandre Diggs. Seems like a good buddy of Patrick Mahomes.
Quandre Diggs, did he go to Texas Tech?
No, they were just Texas kids, I think. Mm.
I wouldn't say no. I mean, I like Quandre Diggs. I don't know what, you know what? We can do a little research right here. We are doing a live show. Why don't we do a little bit of Quandre Diggs analysis? Let's see if SpotTrack has a market value. No, they do not have a market value for Quandre Diggs. I don't know where he fits in. If Justin Reed's there, and if you think Shamari Connor's going to take that next step, you obviously have Brian Cook coming back off of injury. I love Quandre Diggs, but I don't think he fits necessarily here in Kansas City. I don't know where he would go. I still think he's a fairly effective player. Last year, PFF does not back that up, but again, the 3 previous years, he was a Pro Bowler, played in all 17 games last year. Again, to me, that was a little bit of a surprise. Texans. I will also say Seattle looks like they're in full rebuild mode. Right? I mean, if you fire Pete Carroll, you get rid of both your starting safeties. Again, one couldn't stay healthy. But Quandre Diggs, your veteran, you're looking to get rid of your tight end / backup tight end and Will Disley. Makes me also wonder what the plan is at quarterback. Obviously, they gave Geno Smith the money, right? To guarantee that he was going to receive, what was it, $9.5 million, something like that. It didn't necessarily guarantee he's going to be the starter, but I would have to imagine he is. But if you're in full rebuild mode, if you're Seattle, is Tyler Lockett on the move? What do you do at quarterback? You know, do you try and draft, let's just say, Michael Penix Jr., right? They have pick 16. I don't think you'll get J.J. McCarthy at 16, but I do think Michael Penix Jr. will be there at 16. Do you try and take a shot? Is that a surprise? Like, Seattle might be one of those teams that could do a little bit of anything. Do they go after Justin Fields now? Because I don't think Geno Smith's going to be your guy forever, right? Geno Smith is a bridge. He is, to me, Baker Mayfield to an extent. Same type of guys. You don't know if you want to build your team around them, but also you can do worse. Seattle might be one of the more interesting teams this upcoming draft. We'll see. Texans to re-sign Dalton Schultz, 3-year, $36 million deal. I love this move for the Texans. I love Dalton Schultz. If you know me, he was a big reason why I was so high on the Texans last year. I know it's interesting to make a bold comment like I'm high on the Texans because I think Dalton Schultz is a big factor, but I think rookie quarterbacks almost always look towards their tight ends first. Dalton Schultz is very, very talented. He only played in 15 games last year with 635 yards. The numbers aren't great, but he was a massive impact player. He was a little bit of a safety blanket, and I do think it allows a lot of one-on-ones for Tank Dell, Nico Collins on the outside when you have a veteran, a great receiving threat, a mismatch at tight end. So 3-year, $36 million. Good chunk of change for a tight end, right? I mean, that's obviously you're not George Kittle or Mark Andrews or Travis Kelce, but 3-year, 36, pretty good for a tight end market. It's starting to rise a little bit there. $23.5 million fully guaranteed, a source confirmed to ESPN. He was scheduled to become a free agent. I thought his market was going to be pretty tasty. But there you go. I wouldn't have mind post Travis Kelce, Dalton Schultz. Dalton's a little too old, though, probably. He's 27 already. I've just always been a fan of his game. Colts place franchise tag on Michael Pittman Jr. I don't think this was a big surprise here. Michael Pittman Jr. had been in negotiations, at least the representatives, with the Colts on a long-term extension until recent days. Close, apparently, to reaching a deal before today's deadline. But Kimmen went without a new contract. Shane Steichen says, we love everything about him. We want him to be a Colt. Yeah, no bleep. He's your offense. Without Michael Pittman Jr., the Colts offense is not ideal, to put it mildly. Franchise tag worth $21.8 million. I wouldn't be thrilled if I were Michael Pittman Jr. I know this is your first big contract, right? I get that. But he was going to get paid, I think, over $21.8 million AAV with guarantees, with a little bit more security. I know when I talked to Michael Pittman Jr. on Radio Row, he was pretty excited. He wanted to stay a Colt. He's got a lot of roots laid down there. He's a farm guy. Didn't know if you know this about him. Farm animals. He's got a farm out there in Indiana. Think it was Indiana. But he wanted to stay a Colt. Because I asked him, I said, hey, have you thought about moving your farm to Kansas City, just hypothetically speaking? And he's like, nah, man, I like where I'm at. I tried to get him to come to KC. Everyone listen, I tried, okay? Not tampering, of course. But I tried getting Michael Pittman Jr. to come to KC. No. Think he's happy where he's at. But again, franchise tag, $21.8 million for the 2024 season. Will still allow both sides to continue working towards a long-term deal. Franchise tag for the Bears placed on cornerback Jalen Johnson. So not just the Chiefs placing a franchise tag on a corner, the Bears doing it as well. Jalen Johnson is apparently getting the non-exclusive tag. The non-exclusive tag, which, correct me if I'm wrong, same as L'Jarius Sneed, which allows him and his representatives, his agents, to try and find a trade partner, try and find a willing partner if they would like. Again, we're trying to find out more information as it's come. The deadline for franchise tag was at the start of the show at 3 o'clock. So we'll still probably have some news trickling in as we go. But so far, this is what I have in front of you. Ryan Poles said that he hoped to avoid using the franchise tag on the 24-year-old cornerback. Believes there's really good space for us to find the middle ground. Jalen Johnson's really good, man. Turns 25 on April 19th, so he's pretty young. Like, you think L'Jarius Sneed? 2 years older. Two and change. Because technically, Jalen Johnson's still 24. Two and change younger than L'Jarius. Jalen Johnson was second-team All-Pro, also Pro Bowl. Career-high, 4 picks, 10 passes defensed, 1 forced fumble, 36 tackles. He's good, man. Jalen Johnson is really, really good. Poles later said that the team to trade Jalen would be a late first and into early second-round draft pick. Didn't happen. I don't know your thoughts here. Obviously, we're very close in the situation here. We're always going to say probably our guy, L'Jarius, right? If Jalen Johnson couldn't get back first or early second, kind of shows you where the market's at with L'Jarius. Again, I think L'Jarius is probably a better overall corner, but if we're going to go off of accolades, you're probably looking at Jalen, who, again, was second-team All-Pro. Again, we all assume that our dude, L'Jarius, got snubbed. If you want to look at PFF, which does not favor L'Jarius very kindly because of the penalties, Jalen Johnson was a 90.8 overall grade, 91 in coverage. I mean, Jalen Johnson was locked down this year. He was a stud.
He's basically the only Bears defender that I even know. I'm trying to think of anyone else on that team. Brisker.
Yeah, Jacoby Brisker.
Jacoby Brisker. Who was the Sweat that they traded for midseason?
They had a linebacker, I thought. I know they traded away one of the linebackers.
Roquan Smith was there.
But who was the guy from the Bills, I thought?
Oh, Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah, Tremaine Edmonds.
I mean, he fell off.
Yeah, he did. But if you looked at coverage grades last year on PFF, again, I think it's tough because I think PFF, they screwed L'Jarius Sneed because of penalties. Like, I think there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But Jalen Johnson was first of all cornerbacks. Second was Sauce Gardner. Third was Charvarius Ward as far as coverage grade. But it really was Jalen Johnson and Sauce Gardner, the only two in the 90s. So if you want a little bit of a more analytical approach, again, Jalen Johnson, younger, not yet 25. He was ranked the best corner in football last year. And if he wasn't going to bring back a late first, early second, again, I don't know what your thoughts are, but sounds like L'Jarius to me, which I've been trying to preface this. It's not that I don't want L'Jarius to bring back a second or a first. It's that I think he's more of a third round guy. Do you have any thoughts with that? Maybe I'm wrong here, but that's somewhat my feelings right here.
It's kind of starting to look more and more like that. If he plays on the tag, you're accepting getting nothing in return for him.
Correct. You're taking 1 year.
Okay.
That's right. My thought process is.
So what, as far as draft picks, are too low or just, I guess, no draft picks could be too low to not care and just let him play, because then it's better. Any draft pick's better than none.
Correct.
I mean, here's the thing: is it a fifth or sixth round that you're like, well, I'd rather have the production for at least 1 year of L'Jarius?
I think third round's my cutoff.
Okay.
Like, I think I'm truthfully thinking long and hard. If I get a late round third is the only thing I would get for L'Jarius, I think I keep him for that 1 year, as long as he says I'm gonna play. Now, at his age, him sitting out a year at corner makes no sense. He's not gonna sit out. He's not had a chance to make a lot of money as a fourth-round rookie.
I don't think anyone's doing that anymore after seeing what happened to Le'Veon Bell.
Correct. Unless you are legit like Chris Jones or Aaron Donald or, I guess hypothetically, a wide receiver maybe, or a quarterback. but you're not as a corner at his age with the knee history. So I sit here and go, if you know he's going to play 1 year here, do you take a late third, or do you say, you know what? Contract-wise, we can make it work. Because that's also another situation here, right? The Chiefs have to make that 19.8 work for them. Do the Chiefs say, you know what? Instead of that late third, we will take the full year of Legarius Sneed, what we're probably assuming is his last great year. I don't know your thoughts here, Dylan, at his age. Do you think next year's his last great year? Maybe he's the anomaly here.
I don't know. My thoughts are again, I've said this a thousand times, it's the Penei Sewell and Ja'Marr Chase meme that was going around when they were drafted and people were trying to figure out, do you want to keep Joe Burrow upright or give him his favorite receiver? It's kind of the same thing where I think that he could be good, but, you know, he doesn't cover every receiver. And if Chris Jones isn't there or someone like him,
well, if you can keep...
We probably don't have another... I mean, we might.
Sure.
We're going for two. But Juwan Jennings is wide open on Jalen Watson. Now, that has nothing to do with Legarius Sneed.
Yeah.
But didn't happen because of Chris Jones.
Correct.
Because the trenches matter more than skill position, especially now. It feels like...
It's been a shift.
Yeah.
I'm with you, but if this does not allow or affect the Chiefs to sign Chris Jones... If all it does is affect the ability to sign Legarius long term, and you're offered a fourth for 1 year of Legarius, and you can make it work still contract wise with him on one and the extension to Chris Jones. I'm sorry, you tell the team that offered you a fourth to kick rocks and you're keeping LJ. If you get offered a late third, I think you're telling them to pound sand. If you get a high third round in the... What spot would that be? 70s? Late 60s? Early 70s? I forget if the compensatory picks come first. I don't know if you know that one, Dylan. If the compensatory picks come before, I don't know if they do or not. But you're looking at the 70s, basically. I think you take that for Legarius. I know it's not going to be the most exciting. It's not going to be awesome. And quite frankly, it could be a bust. That third rounder could be John Baldwin. Don't. Dylan's face said, oh my God. Didn't like that one, huh? Sorry.
Wasn't he a first rounder?
He was a first rounder. Yeah. I'm just thinking of
no, I know. I mean,
Tyson Jackson, is that better for you?
No, I think it was a good comp because you might think that you have someone that's worth it and end up being completely worthless. So,
but again, also, Legarius was a guy who was drafted in the fourth. I think at some point, though, you have to just sit back and say, it's not just, does Legarius make your team better? He does. But it's, can you build your entire team in the salary cap era with a cornerback getting $19.8 million if he's not going to sign an extension here in Kansas City? Do you take the draft pick then? That's what it comes down to. A couple more news franchise tag items coming in. Patriots are using the $13.8 million transition tag on Kyle Duggar. The safety Kyle Duggar is getting the $13.8 million transition tag, which is the average of the top 10 salaries for safeties. Duggar can still sign an offer sheet with another team, and the Patriots would have the opportunity to match the offer. If the Patriots decline to match any offer, they would not receive any draft compensation. The transition tag isn't as utilized as often as the franchise tag, which pays an average of the top five players at the position. Again, the transition is the top 10. Only six players have received the transition tag in the past 15 years, with the last being Kenyon Drake with the Cardinals in 2020. Wild. Are you shocked that Kenyon Drake got the transition tag? Because that was not a name I was expecting to see on the list.
To quote a man, that's a name that I haven't heard in a long, long time.
Kenyon Drake. Remember when he was like going to be like the guy in fantasy football?
Oh, yeah. He was a Raider.
Ravens, I think.
Ravens, yep.
Arizona.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Hey, It's a good little career. Good little chunk of change.
Good little chunk of change. You, it is interesting. I never think about the transition tag because no one uses it. 15 times, what was it? Six players in the last 15 years. Teams can only use one franchise tag or transition tag per offseason. So that's it. They're done. Patriots can't tag anyone else. 27. So he's also like the Jarius Sneed. He's 27. So safety. The Jaguars. They are placing the franchise tag on pass rusher Josh Allen. The non-exclusive franchise tag. $24 million is the edge rush salary, pass rush salary. Dang. I like Josh Allen. Not just the quarterback, but Josh Allen, the pass rusher. Dude is damn good. Feels like he's always one of those underrated pass rushers too, right? Like, I always feel like Josh Allen's never thrown into the elite name categories, but he's so good at everything. And in honor of Rudy, we got to give him credit because he's a Kentucky guy, right? I saw that smile back there.
I didn't know which Rudy you were talking about.
You think the movie was the
movie, and then, yeah, when you say Kentucky, I know it's...
Eno is old Rudy.
You know, the actual Rudy.
The real Rudy.
The one that actually existed, yeah.
The one that... Dude, can we talk about that? I hate... You know, I lived in Philly for 3 years, and I like Philly, and I love cheesesteaks, baby. Love them. Had a good time there. Can we talk about the fact that they have an entire statue dedicated to a fictional character, and that's what people know him for? Like, people are like, oh, yeah, you go to the Rocky Steps?
Again, Rocky's cool, though.
I get it. It's a library. It's a museum.
You ever heard Joe Montana's thoughts on the Rudy movie?
No. Oh, is it good?
Oh, yeah. He's, you know, basically he didn't play. You know, I think if you ask any of those Notre Dame guys off the record, they'll give you some good bits of information in regards to that story.
Movies are movies, right? Trust me, I love movies. I love TV shows. Like, I have like The Big Lebowski's The Dude. But I don't necessarily want to have a dude statue outside my house. Like, imagine if Kansas City...
I'll take one.
No.
We're offering.
Hear me out. Imagine if... I love The Big Lebowski. Love it. But imagine if Kansas City, one of their most famous icons, was for some reason The Dude. Like, a statue of The Dude. Be a little weird, right? Like, if people from out of town came and wanted to take pictures with it. That's what Philly is with the Rocky statue. I'm sorry, I'm a little off topic now, but I have really strong thoughts in regards to fictional characters. Same reason why I don't understand superhero movies. I'm sorry. I know it's probably another hot topic that's going to get me in trouble. Don't like superhero movies. It's not real.
I'll save you. The only Avengers movie I've seen is Endgame.
Never seen a single one.
I'm glad to say that on here, you know.
Yeah, you see, this is a safe space.
Safe space. Like, someone heard that, especially Josh Briscoe.
Sorry.
He would have probably come into the studio to remove me himself.
This is why we're here. Star Wars, don't get the hype. Star Trek, really don't get the hype. Okay? Don't get it. I feel like I'm Nick Saban. Like, I feel like I'm an 80-year-old dude yelling at a cloud right now, but do you get Star Wars? It's in the future and also in the past? I don't. I get enjoying it, but making your whole life revolve around it as my life revolves around watching other dudes play sports. Who am I to throw stones in a glass house? Are you a Star Wars guy too? You are? Okay. Well, I guess that's the line we cross?
Yeah, I mean, I love Star Wars. So
I don't get it, man.
It is what it is.
I don't get it.
It's better than Star Trek, you know?
Yeah, I get that, I guess, but I don't get it.
Just watch it again.
Oh, I watched it once as a kid, and I was, even as a kid, I'm like, Dad.
Yeah, if you didn't like it as a kid,
yeah,
it ain't gonna
happen. I was like, Dad. Can we watch sports? And he was like, son, I've never been so proud of you. It's like, Dad, can we watch the Lakers-Sacramento Kings game? I want to watch Shaq just body up Vlade Divac. Dad, can I watch Rick Fox and Derek Fisher shoot instead of watching R2-D2?
Stormtroopers suit,
yeah.
Shoot.
Yeah. See, ooh, look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you. I was a big Peja Stojakovic guy. Even though we were Lakers guys back then, Peja Stojakovic was my dude. Him and Doug Christie.
They used to be a really good matchup. Kings-Lakers.
Then you had the Portland Trailblazers with Arvydas Sabonis. Remember big, good old Arvydas?
You have lost me now. I do not know who we're talking about.
You don't know about Arvydas? His son, DeMontis, plays for the Kings now.
Oh, yeah. Now
his dad, Arvydas Sabonis, known as one of the best players of all time. Only issue was he got to America at like age 35 with no knees. Still was a stud. Yeah. We'll take a break because we hit the gamut of NFL franchise and transition tags. We've hit it all. My disdain for fake stuff, as well as Arvydas Sabonis.
So fake stuff, you mean like CGI?
Yeah, I'm not a CGI guy.
Like poorly done CGI, you mean?
Pretty much all CGI. Poorly done. Like I get the need for it sometimes, but I'm a
yeah. I mean, we can't do Michael Bay films in real life.
Yeah, but also it's like, I don't like, Transformers aren't real. Sorry.
So you're person in the movie theater picking apart.
No, I'm not picking it apart. Like, if I go, I'll go and enjoy it. It's fine. But that's not the movie I'm choosing to go to. Like, I'm not choosing to go see that movie. Maybe my imagination is not large enough. But, that's kind of where I'm at, man. Like, give me real. Give me real.
Give you real. I mean, it was a long time ago, though, in a galaxy far, far away.
See, this is why I like sports, though. Because sports are real.
Right. I do, too. Actually, as I've gotten older, I don't watch near as many movies or TV shows. It's all live sports. But give it a try. Give it another try. Suspend reality for just 3 hours.
You and I are going to sit down with a 12-pack Busch Light.
One of those, like, football clickers that they use where they can rewind.
Yeah,
it and
we,
good.
Yeah, yeah. And you can point like you're John Madden and circle and go, boom!
Yep,
yeah.
Illustrator.
Yeah, one of those. We're going to do that, and we're going to watch a sci-fi movie of your choosing, okay?
Cool.
I feel like this would be a good...
Good bit.
Good bit. All right, take a break. Come back. Home stretch. ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to the home stretch. ESPN Kansas City. I did my yoga this morning, feeling good. The one with the weights, oh dude, kicks your ass. It is always funny though because to me it's harder than any other workout I've ever done. Like, you know, high school basketball or football or baseball, and you think like those workouts are hard. Do yoga with weights. Go to a class with me, and all of a sudden you're sitting here going, what the heck am I getting myself into? This is miserable. My body, I didn't know I could sweat this much. Why is it 97 degrees in the studio? That's not an exaggeration. It's 97. And then you look over, and some like 60-year-old lady's just kicking your ass. I'm like, oh, gosh. It's a good workout, Dylan. Let's do it together. We'll become the most in-shape duo in the history of radio. It's not really a high bar. You know, in-shape radio host is kind of like an oxymoron. It's kind of like Quiet Riot, the band. But
would it be like the most limber as well?
It'd be both. Yeah, that's also a very low bar, I think, for radio hosts. I don't... We could do it.
We're not meeting... I mean, you know, stones, glass houses. I mean, I am not, at least, meeting any of those requirements at all either. So I'm a part of the majority.
Oh, me too.
For sure.
Oh, you should have seen me playing basketball the other day. I thought I was going to yak on the court.
I do. Listen to this little life hack here.
Yeah.
Do you belong to a gym? I imagine. Yes.
No.
Okay. Well, when you do, you will.
I have before, and then I did yoga instead. I chose yoga.
They have the rising treadmills.
Oh yeah.
I usually do like an 8 incline, but 4 speed. So like a brisk walk,
sure.
You got to jog a little bit, but it's constantly uphill. I can only do 5 minutes.
Oh.
Last night. And usually I can get about 10 and still feel okay.
It's more than me, dude.
Oh my gosh. No, I mean, you would be able to
run.
Do 5. You would be able to do 5 because clearly I haven't done it in like 6 months. And barely made it through there. I think you could as well.
I'm not a mover. Like basketball, I'll move. If you think I'm doing that, Dylan, you're out of your gourd. I don't know if I can run a mile.
Oh, I know I can't. I mean, I can, but it's not. It's like 9 minutes.
Yeah, I have no idea what my mile time would be. That's what we should do. We should just do a radio host take on average high school athletics. Run a mile, do push-ups, pull-ups.
Because it can't be pros versus Joes. Working title.
It's like, are you smarter than a fifth grader? But it's like, can you complete gym class? Like, give us the pacer test. Remember the pacer test?
Oh, yeah.
That was ass, dude.
That was awful.
That was horrible. Me and my iPod Shuffle, the one that could clip on, I think, back in the day. I used to have the Walkman, but I don't think we were allowed to use the Walkman because I think it was too big. It wouldn't fit in your pocket.
Yeah, I remember. I had my CD.
You had my Dress to Kill Kiss album that I used to just throw on.
Nice.
But I remember listening to 2112 by Rush to see if I can make it all the way because it's like 20 minutes long. Don't think I did it. All right. Ravens put franchise tag on Justin Madubuike. Justin Madubuike was unreal last year. 13 sacks last year. He's just really come on stronger later on in his career. So Justin Madubuike getting the franchise tag. Worth $22 million, for him. But he's starting to get his name into that. Wouldn't you start saying Justin Madubuike is starting to get his name into that elite defensive tackle category? That elite pass rusher, him, Quinnen Williams, Aaron Donald, Chris Jones, obviously. But I really think you can start. It's interesting because I think Justin Madubuike earlier on in his career, his first couple years, right? I don't think you'd ever say that. But the last 2 years, really, Justin Madubuike has really come on. So 26, coming off of that breakout season. Good for him. Good for Justin because he really did come on strong last year. So Justin Madubuike getting the franchise tag for the Ravens. The Giants will not use franchise tag on Saquon Barkley. Not a big surprise, but now he's an unrestricted free agent. That second straight tag for Barkley was going to cost the Giants $12.1 million, but Barkley wouldn't have wanted it, and the Giants, quite frankly, wouldn't have wanted it. That was what you call a lose-lose situation, Dylan. If they would have franchise tag Saquon, it would have been like, no one likes this. This all sucks. Barkley, 27 years old, played on that franchise tag that was slightly adjusted last year, netting him that $10.1 million. What do you think that Saquon's market's going to look like?
He's going to have a good shot to get a ring. But I know he doesn't want that. He wants the long-term stability. It's just tough. It really is. Because even guys who aren't injured and aren't used as much have trouble getting that long-term deal. And if the team that's seen you in their building for your entire NFL career wasn't going to give it to you, it's hard to get it from someone who hasn't.
Sure.
Now, you can have desperate teams. You can also have, like, good teams that are feeling like, hey, we can add this guy for a year rental. Not rental, but you know what I mean.
Well,
but he's not going to want to do that. So it's kind of a weird market. But there's always a dumb GM or franchise that seems to do it every year.
Well, I'm trying to picture this, right? Because he would be, I think he'd be happy with 3 for $27, $9 million a year, but you have the guarantees there. I don't know. I'm trying to spitball here. I'm trying to think of what an actual contract for Saquon could look like. Because
that's what I was saying. I have no idea. Like, I don't know what he wants or what his desire is, really. But if you, that'd be so awesome. I'm just thinking about him and running out here on banner night.
Dude.
God, it'd be nice. But it's just not going to happen.
He's
electric. Feels like
he's so good. Like, he's so talented, but he's also a running back.
He's not going to want to take a one-year deal after just doing a one-year deal, basically, with the franchise tag, right? But he was tagged last year, right?
Yeah, and he got $10 million. So, but I think, again, you're looking at – I'm trying to look at his market value.
And he honestly, I mean, with injury and the fact that Daniel Jones was, you know, on the Nick Wright proverbial Josh Allen roller coaster of seasons, basically, he – He doesn't really have a lot of room to be doing the one-year let's-prove-it deals anymore. He wants to make his money while he's in his prime.
He just turned 27, so it's not like he's an old 27.
But he's a running back.
He's a running back.
That might as well be 32.
His market value, according to SpotTrack, I was not far off. Three-year, 29.9. It was $9.9 million.
It's the years that the teams that are good and smart aren't going to want to put on there. Uh-huh. And there'll be a team that feels like they want to sell tickets or maybe give their fans or team a boost in signing him that they think will get him over the hump that might do that with some funny language a part of it.
I will say what's interesting, that's a good point, but what's a really interesting point is with the salary cap rising the way it has, that 9.9 is not the same as it was last year.
One of the funniest. You ever seen Nathan For You?
Uh-uh. Oh. Is it Nathan Fielder? Is that the guy, right? I know who he is. I've not seen.
Hilarious human being. It's the thing where he pulls off the cooking cover and he's serving someone and he's like, it's nothing.
Yeah.
You ever seen that?
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's what they were saying. Yeah. NFL salary cap's rising. NFL ownership, you get nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it's basically how running backs are going to be treated regardless. They've always been treated this way. It's literally gone up every year since COVID and nothing's changed. It's actually gotten worse.
I just wonder if this, is it silly? I don't even know. I'm talking myself into it because it's fun because he's a good pass catcher.
Me too. I mean, it'd be fun to sign everyone, but not, you know.
It's not frugal. It's not smart.
Everyone's trying to compromise where nobody wins and nobody loses on a deal. Nobody's just going to be taking ring-chasing discounts. They haven't done it since we started with Mahomes. There's really not been a guy where you're like, oh, that guy could have got everything and didn't because he wanted to play on the Chiefs. That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they franchise tagged Antoine Winfield Jr. He's the guy that did the peace sign, correct, Tyreek, if I'm not mistaken, in the Super Bowl. His franchise tag salary is $17.1 million, which is a lot for a safety for 1 year. Really good player, though, man. He was first.
If we weren't Chiefs fans, that's all time, by the way. That's like.
That's so.
That's going to be. When you see those NFL films, like things where they're showing all the 80s stuff that they show over and over again, that's going to be a part of NFL films history.
Yeah, that's
just a cool.
It was badass, dude.
It was.
You can sit here and go, yeah, that was. That again, you're right. If that was anyone on Kansas City, we're sitting here going, that's badass, dude. But because it was against Kansas City, we're like,
did it to Ja'Marr Chase, we would love it.
By the way, Antoine Winfield Jr. Was first team All-Pro last year, backed up by PFF. He was the highest graded safety.
Wasn't he left off the Pro Bowl team as well?
He may have been left. Was he left off Pro Bowl?
There was some snub or something with him.
He was named. Yeah, he was named a Pro Bowler in 2021 and first team All-Pro in 23. And PFF graded him as the highest graded safety.
He wasn't in the Pro Bowl this year?
Didn't look like it.
That's how meaningless Pro Bowls are.
Correct.
If anyone wanted to know.
Brian Burns. Brian Burns was also tagged by the Panthers, which
would be fun. But again, it just stinks.
It's very Frank Clark.
Things up, you know?
No. Brian Burns is so Frank Clark.
Yeah, you don't want to help Carolina.
8 sacks last year. Brian Burns is a little better. He had 12 and a half and 22. But I mean, Brian Burns is one of those guys you're like, good player. Not elite. That's how but he's going to get paid like an elite player, just how Frank Clark got traded for and then paid like an elite player.
Is he in the Patrick Peterson Hall of Fame for Chiefs?
Oh, good call.
Like, he's going to be a Chief 100,000 times and never was?
Dude, no one will beat Patrick Peterson.
No, he's the Deion Sanders of that Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's the guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other people besides him that I could have used, but that's really the one that sticks out.
Oh, dude.
Who's a receiver? Would it be Hopkins? No.
Hopkins is close, but I feel like it wasn't.
There's another one.
Mike Evans was starting to get there, but it's not close. It's not even Hopkins level. Oh, that's a good call, dude.
There's plenty. There's not just those two.
I like it, though, dude.
He's definitely. Brian Burns is. Given the what jacket? Would it be a red jacket?
No, yeah, red jacket. Yeah. But
do a yellow jacket.
Yellow jacket. Dude. Freaking Patrick Peterson for 5 years. It was at least four, right?
Yeah, it was.
It was at least four years.
Every single offseason and trade deadline.
I'm shocked it's still not happening now. At one point, I actually did think it was going to happen because it was like so funny that we were going to come full circle when he switched back to safety. I don't know if you remember when he Went to the Steelers, right? Yes. Hey, he's only 33, baby. I think he's actually now back at corner. I think he went from cornerback to safety back to corner. Maybe I'm wrong here, but I thought he had to make a little transition. He played in all 17 games past 2 years. Wow. Well, there's still hope.
That would be all-time full circle moment, though.
Oh, that'd be incredible.
To have him sign for his last year.
Game. I don't care how long. A game.
Yep.
And then all of Chiefs fans can remember the Patrick Peterson era. Kind of like the Ty Law era.
Yes.
Yeah, Ty Law. Take a break.
Darrell Revis.
Darrell Revis era. Yeah, strong. Strong. Take a break. Come back. Home stretch. ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to the home stretch. ESPN Kansas City. Good pull, by the way. It's great.
Just going into the mind while you were running those.
The mind of...
what were they called?
Pacer test.
Pace, that's right. It's better than that one test where you had to see how far you could touch your toes.
Oh, dude, that always hurt your back, too. And yep. You're like trying because you wanted to beat your friends. So you're like just hurting yourself. All right. Oakland Athletics. Oakland Athletics have released their stadium. The renderings, at least. Most people think it looks like the Sydney Opera House out there.
Almost exactly like
that. Like it does. I think it looks kind of cool.
So what's the... Hang on. If it rains...
It's in Vegas, by the way.
Right. If it rains, are they covered or...
It looks like it's covered.
That's what I was trying to see. Because if you made like the tallest one bigger than the other, there's just enough space where...
It also does look like you would, if you hit a pop fly, you're hitting the roof. Like, very easily. Like, it looks like a punter would hit this.
Or it goes in between two roofs.
Yeah.
Know?
Like, does it look kind of cool? Yeah. Does it look very, very... Maybe there's going into the spherical look as well with the sphere there in Vegas, but...
Yeah, that does seem what they're trying to do. It definitely looks like they just threw something together as fast as possible.
Yeah. Hey,
the Jumbotron looks ridiculous.
Horrible.
Ridiculous.
It's like bending. Like it's on a it's on a curvature.
It's like if I'm laying flat, I get the best angle. Everyone else is like looking at it.
Yeah, you know, if you're looking at it straight ahead, if you're in the upper deck, you won't be able to see bleep. Yeah, this was done in 5 minutes. Also, John Fisher, I believe, is the owner. That's a dude.
Well, a drawing of a stadium is still better than the Oakland Stadium.
Seriously, but because you don't put money into it, you're going to blame the fans. Like, yeah, it's great. Like, oh, gosh. I am so irritated with the I don't want to get into it because I'll get even more upset about a team I don't care about, but because I think they're just screwing over the city of Oakland, and I hate that everything's moving to Vegas because they don't have a real fan base. It's just transplants.
Literally every team Oakland has left.
Has left.
Even the Warriors went to San Francisco.
Yeah. And quite frankly, what did the Raiders do wrong?
Lose.
But the fans, what did they do wrong?
Oh, my, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What the Raiders fans? Nothing.
Nothing.
They always showed up.
Yeah. They might have been throwing things at players here and there, but, you know, everyone has their
low passion.
Moments. Yeah.
That's passion. All right. Before we get out of here, college basketball, Auburn at University of Missouri. Can't wait to see my Missouri Tigers go to 0-17 in the SEC. I can wait.
I got it. They're doing it. They're getting that win tonight.
Oh, yeah. 11.5-point dogs at home. You love to see it. Always wanted Bruce Pearl. K-State, KU. K-State has to have it, but it's in Lawrence. K-State falling to Cincinnati over the weekend was a dagger. KU could be the team.
This is the time
to twists.
Do it. This is the time to get us at home.
The dagger. Yeah. Big game. KU needs to get off the schneid. They've been struggling, Joe Namath style. Dylan, this was fun. We'll be back tomorrow from 3 to 4 p.m. Until then, we are out.
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.